I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Deirdre O'Kane podcast with SJ and Eva B. We are a three-way Zoom podcast and thanks for listening. Oh my God, we've done our boys' rooms. Look at my room.
Yeah.
This is Daniel.
The same colour.
Look.
It's very similar.
And I put that panelling up. This room has just been repainted and done.
Oh my God, lovely.
I love the panelling.
Oh, gorgeous. I'm obsessed with the panelling, lads.
Obsessed.
Eva, you have just come back from holidays.
Oh, lads, for listening, it was glorious. I mean, it was quick. We got in on Thursday night. I came home on Monday morning. I left the family out there just to, well, to be swimming in a sea that's not the 40 foot was the best. I just was able to remind myself, I do love swimming in the sea. I'm good in the sea.
Yeah, it's just the Irish Sea that I have no interest in.
Exactly.
Lewis and I went swimming in the Irish Sea. We went down to the 40 foot yesterday. Yeah, we went to the little cove part and I was thinking of you. I was laughing. Just picturing you.
Did you get into the Sandy Cove bit? Like we went before into the actual.
Yeah, we did. We didn't go. We looked at the 40 foot from where we were because I walked down with them, so it was a bit of a stretch. But it was. We got in. It was just the sun was shining, so it made a difference.
Cold.
It's still freezing. Yeah. It's not the same as where you were this weekend.
Oh, it was just lovely, lads. It was lovely. We had a couple of days in Soyer, which is.
Oh, that's right. Just, I took Steve for his 50th.
Oh my God.
Wow.
It's such a lovely little spot, isn't it? It's just.
It's fabulous. I adore it. It's a little train track.
The little,
right
the little
the
train track.
The village.
Yeah.
And the church.
The church and the hotel.
It's perfectly fine.
Right on the beach, like literally across the road.
Yeah.
And so the kids got into the water, they didn't get out. We only had the Friday, Saturday there, but we did all day Friday, all day Saturday, and they hardly got out of the water. And it was just lovely, lovely to do that with them because they got so much.
Because they're occupied. You don't have to occupy them.
They're
in the water.
Exactly. I mean, I was in there with them and I loved it because Joni actually wouldn't, she wouldn't let go of either of us because she doesn't remember being in an ocean before. So she was like loving a bit, but quite overwhelmed as well. So she was like a little limpet. So I was in there for the most part with the Ross. Got in as well, obviously, but I enjoyed the sea a bit more than him, I think. And Jesse didn't get out. But Jesse, he was only in there about 10 minutes and he looked around and he saw the kids his age and he looked at me and he went, I'm embarrassed I can't swim. And I thought, oh no, I'm so sorry.
Oh, here we go. There's a parenting guilt trip.
Oh yeah, big guilt trip because I just thought, yeah, that's on me.
But is it not on COVID? Because
it's
swimming
both,
pools were closed.
It's both. We had started swimming lessons like, you know, 3 years ago, and he was going to move up into the next level. They didn't have room for him in the class. I let the ball drop for 6 months. Then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of both.
But Jesse's seven, right?
Jesse is seven.
Yeah. I would say that is the best time to start.
Well, do you know what? The determination on him. Yeah. I was trying to, like, he wouldn't get out of the water because he's like a little fish, like he loves the water.
Oh, wow.
And
so
he was like, he spent the whole time in it. And I was sort of trying to teach him some moves in the water, but you can't really teach in the sea. You know, you kind of need to be able to sort of push off against things and not have, you know, waves coming at him, although it was very calm. So I was sort of trying to teach him how to keep afloat and stuff like that. But we went on the Sunday, we went to the in-laws' villa. It was the last time they're spending at the villa. They've sold.
Can I just say the in-laws villa? That's a lovely sentence.
Oh, I know. My brother-in-law is in construction. He's a builder. He has his own construction company and he basically flipped this villa. It was an old 70s style villa that he found and needed it. It was small, but on a lot of land, and he made it Fabulous. Oh, yeah. Fabulous. But they've sold it. So it's our last week in the villa. So they wanted us to join for a few days. So we've had many lovely trips there. But as soon as Jesse got into the pool and saw his cousins swim, and they've been swimming since like they were three, the determination on that young boy was amazing. He learned to swim in, I'd say, he learned to swim underwater first in about an hour. He was going side to side underwater in about an hour, having never done it before. And then I came home on the Monday. Ross, a couple of hours later, sent me a video from what happened on the Sunday, what happened on the Monday afternoon, which was he was just swimming.
Yeah.
He's just able to
swim. Amazing.
Like it happened so quickly. Yeah. It was incredible.
It was the same thing happened with Lewis. I mean, this summer, he started swimming in the river almost immediately. It was just that determination. Like, I need to swim.
Now. I need to be able to swim. Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Because so Jesse's like, I need to do what those kids are doing.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't stop. It was brilliant. It was just.
And tell me this. When are the swimming pools going to open, or are they already open?
They're open. That's the thing. They have actually been open here for like quite a while now. Like, okay.
Now you know when you get back. You might have found his thing. You know, it might be. Yeah. It's always hard to find what is a kid's sport or thing that they love. You end up having to try book and everything. Oh, yeah. Horse riding, sailing, swimming, football.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you found a thing that he loves, you're laughing. That's very true.
I think another part of it was like when we used to sign Lewis up for so many after school activities in Spain because they were so abundant. It was just part of the school. You're picking and choosing the things that you could send them to. And it was all part of the school curriculum. You send them into school from 9 to 5, and from 3 to 5, it was after school activities.
Fabulous.
Amazing.
That is an incredible service.
It really is.
I think the schools need to be doing here.
My point is, though, in Spain, when we had all of these extracurricular activities within the school, since we used to bring them to swimming lessons, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, like the hassle. And he was 3 or 4 at the time, bringing them up to the thing, getting them changed, and they're the captain distraction. And he's like, you know,
oh my God, the thing down,
and they're in the pool for 20 minutes, and then it's time to
exactly. And this is what put me off doing it in London as well. So I also had Joni in tow, so I had a baby. Jesse, captain distraction as well. He's just completely sort of, you know, goes mental. Overloaded all the stimulation.
So, I'm so excited.
So trying to hold a baby, trying to change a 4-year-old, get him in. And like you say, and there was also like 8 in his class. So his actual swimming time would probably be a total of 4 minutes.
It didn't feel worth it at all. That was it. Yeah. And like
running
up there, like, because the place that we could get Lewis into was like a half an hour walk. I'm like, I'm not doing it. So isn't it great, though, that they both went, I'm done. I need to swim.
I need to be able to swim.
My parents have dropped the ball, but I'm fucking doing it. Dee, how are you?
I'm fine. I had a couple of live shows this week, one of which was fabulous, one of which wasn't. Might tell you about the one that wasn't, because, you know, who wants to hear the good stuff? One of them was a gig to 50 people, because this is all we were allowed in the space. The COVID restrictions. I'm at the end. I've reached the end of the road now. I'm just like, can we open, please? I almost just can't take anymore. So 50 people was what we were allowed. The show was like a 7 o'clock start, and it was outdoors. So 50 people outdoors, which made it difficult, having watched everybody at Croke Park in the thousands outdoors, admittedly, and I don't begrudge them. I'm delighted for them all. I'm just sad for myself that 50 people in this space outside, distanced. So the 50 couldn't bunch together to make noise. So they were quite far apart. And honestly, it was like playing to about 10 people, 20 people. That's what it felt like, because I could see into the whites of their eyes. It was a little bit like walking into a garden party at your granny's and somebody saying, could you entertain these guests? That's what it kind of felt like. Yeah, it was really, really hard. And I just thought, this isn't, stand-up is not, We need a rock and roll environment. Yeah. Like, it's people need to have a pint in their hands and be sort of bunched together so they can hear the laughter. Laughter is a thing that sort of catches fire in a room. You sort of need to be bunched together.
Yeah.
But you know, listen, I the great thing is I'm really not complaining.
Oh, sure about that?
I'm really complaining. But I just feel like a sort of shut up and do your job. A little bit of me feels like a fraud to complain. But
they have to know what works as well, don't they? And of course, hats off to everybody for trying to make it work, because that's what we're all trying to get everything back on its feet. But there's some.
That's what I mean. I was
that just don't work.
I guess that's what I'm saying. I was so grateful that there was a show going on, and I was getting paid, and I was getting up again, and I was dying to try new stuff.
But so much part of what you're doing depends on the room and the atmosphere and the laughter.
A comedian's environment is really important, much more so than a band or a singer who can, it doesn't really matter. They want a crowd and they want noise, but they can carry on and play on.
Yeah, yeah. They're used to studio work. They need it when you're recording, but it's all precisely about the interaction with your audience.
Exactly, exactly. They can just go, right, we're in the studio. Yeah. Let's play for ourselves. Comics can't do that. We've got to have... We gotta have laughter. So it was rough as hell. And and honestly, I just thought, okay, I'm not gonna do another one. I need to wait until this country opens and we have a crowd. So let's see. Now that said, on Friday I'm down in Galway in Pierce Stadium, and it was gonna be 500, but they've upped it to 1,200. So we shall see. I'm really looking forward to that. They will be in pods. But I imagine, I think 1,200 people are still 1,200 and not 50.
Yeah, bigger.
Yeah. So you're glad you asked, I'd say now, with my little boring rant.
because it was a big deal. It was your first show back, and that's really hard that's what the experience was. It's not what you expected.
It reminded me of being a rookie comic, you know, when you're, That said, the rookie comedy thing, it sort of never goes away. Conditions for comedians are, you never know what you're getting until you rock up to a room. You know what I mean? You tell people, I just need a mic and a light. But sometimes they don't even get that right. You know, so we're very used to, you know, what are they going to put together here? That's why we love a purpose-built club that's like prepped and full, and people know how to create atmosphere. You need to create atmosphere. It doesn't create itself. You know, the room has to lend itself to what this art form is. It was just one of those things. But I just thought, oh, here we go.
Well, listen, you survived it. Friday can only be better.
I'll tell you what as well. I recorded it on my phone. I record everything on my phone now. This is the most useful. The voice record on the iPhone is one of the best things that ever happened to my life, because I can listen back to new shows work out what's good and what's bad. So when I listened back, to be fair, they're laughing. They're giving as much as they can. It was just in the moment for me. Probably haven't played to 50 people in a long time. I'm used to a couple of hundred people in it. And it was just like, it was like, hey. Hey, and you're moving on. But also the brightness. I'm looking into the whites of their eyes. So every little reaction on everyone's face, you're looking directly into their faces. It was like a bright living room. It was daylight, because in Ireland, 7 p.m. outdoors, it is effing bright. So, yeah. Okay, I've got that out now. Woo!
Oh, that's good.
Get it out.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
SJ, I'm desperate to hear about your method of decluttering the mind. You mentioned it to me earlier. What is this? Because it's like it's an actual...
So it's...
She Marie Kondo'd her house and now she's Marie Kondo'ing her brain.
It's a system that I've been using for years, and there's moments of my life where I really, really implement it. But on a day-to-day basis, I'm always using it, and it's called Getting Things Done, and it's a personal productivity management system that was formulated by this guy called David Allen, who wrote the book. He's a productivity consultant. And
nothing to do with Dave Allen, the comedian.
No, nothing to do with him. And it was passed on to me by Court, my brother-in-law, just amazing, extraordinary, genius human. And how he manages his day-to-day seemed to be very strategic. And so I was asking him, because I was about to start a new job that was going to really blow up my life. And it was basic. I needed to be super organized so that I could organize these very organized people's lives. So it was all going to be based on my ability to be able to keep my life in check. And so what he does is this book called Getting Things Done, which is, you know, if there's moments in your life where you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. So at the moment, we've moved country and we've done it so many times that I don't get overwhelmed by it anymore, because I use this system, which is you've got things going on in your mind. So you've got to get PPS numbers for the family, get a GP, get uniform for Lewis, text your mother back, clean your knickers, buy some milk, right? So yeah, these are like six things that are in your head and you go, oh my God, there's so many things I need to do. And what do I need to? So you write every single thing down that's in your head, and you basically collect the information, write it down, clarify every single thing on that list. You organize everything on that list into next steps. What's the next step in terms of getting a PPS number? Well, I need to, you know, sign in and register for that. What's the next thing for getting the milk? I need to go to the store. Is there anything else? So you put things into next actions, and then you review the list an hour later and you go, have I done this? This is the next action for that. And then the last thing is you implement. You take all of the things that you've put down, which now seem less overwhelming because you've done the next step for every single thing. And that's what I do. And so
I love the breaking down of the list, because we've spoken about lists on this podcast before and how they can help. And so sometimes we use them, sometimes we write a list and then we forget where the list is and we don't actually, the list is like a 10-minute exercise and then it never actually aids anything. I love, and Ross is a firm believer in lists as well, but breaking the lists down, which he doesn't do this. I need to get into this and for it all to be effective, because I get very overwhelmed if I got too many things on my plate as well. It's breaking the list down. Is it, how do I, okay, being pragmatic about it.
Being pragmatic, and it's all about next actions. And I'm always saying, like Ellie is always laughing at me because I'm like, what's the next step? Everything on that list has a next step, and some next steps lead to other next steps. And of course, for things like moving house or moving country or Ellie said to me the other day, because he and Court actually speak every week, and Court said to him, what are your priorities right now? And it's a really, really good exercise to do, because when we moved to Spain, for example, I was in the middle of making a film and I had so much to do regarding the film that when we moved country, we didn't think we were moving country, but suddenly all the bureaucracy that I had to deal with in Spain, and it all landed on me because I had the Spanish. So, you know, we were finding a place to live. We had to get legal. We had to find a school for Lewis. All of these things suddenly became my priority. And I was fighting against it. I didn't want this to be my priority. And I was bitter and I was frustrated because the bureaucracy in Spain is just
off the scale.
And so I was doing it in another language that I hadn't spoken in years. And suddenly the priorities on my list went way down. And this was my priority. So instead of actually, you know, accepting, writing it down and going, okay, this is actually what I have to do right now in order to get to that place, then it just would have been, I would have been less bitter and less fucking miserable. Yeah. So I learned from that. And so here in Dublin, when Ellie said, what are your priorities right now? And we made a list, and my main priority in the house was storage containers. And that was my priority. I want to get storage containers for all of the things that I need to be organized, because this is essentially going to be our production house when we make the film, which is why we moved to Dublin. And I needed to remind myself, in order to make this film, I need this house to function not only as a home, but as a home studio and as a home office to make the film. It also allows Ellie to look at his crazy wife, who's making all these lists, going, you know, measuring the drawers to see what size storage containers I need to get. It allows him to go, okay, that's why she's doing that, because it's her main priority. And the second priority was family health. My question this week is, who do I have to blow to get a fucking GP in this town? Suddenly getting a GP has become
favorite sentence of the day so far.
Yeah, it's true.
Me. You gotta blow me. Who knew?
I would enjoy it. I would enjoy every minute of it. I'm telling you, it has suddenly become this thing, right? Like, oh no, you can't get a GP. Oh no. And so family health, rather than fight it and be angry about it, I was like, okay, I need to make a list as to all the things we need to get on the health system. And that involves, you know, a lot of bureaucracy. But rather than fight the bureaucracy, I'm just going to write everything down on the list and make the phone calls, and got them done. But the funny thing is, my own health, my own exercise regime was 8 on the list. Watching movies was number 10 on the list. But what happens is your priorities start to shift around once all the other things move them around.
You got to once you take the surface stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so that surface stuff, and that's what this, that's why this book, once you start adhering to it, you don't actually have to read it anymore, because you're just doing the thing. And of course, the film, like, that's my project and that's your project, you know, there's constantly things, next steps to go. So I needed to call a casting director friend the other day because I had an idea about how to approach an actor. And so while that's the main reason we're here, it's not a priority on the list at the moment because we're not in production mode. We're way down in pre-production, but it's making that phone call as opposed to going, letting it go by and making the fact that getting the PPS number has taken up so much more headspace. It doesn't need to take up more headspace. You just need to make that phone call. That's all.
Yeah. And then I think that's brilliant, because it's the feelings of frustration, and then you're living with that stress and just
resentment.
At your partner, at the world, at the stuff that you want to be doing, putting all the energy in this other thing and you can't, and all this stuff is getting away. And I love the name of the book? I need this book in my life.
It's brilliant. It's called Getting Things Done. And I really recommend it. I think it's really
great.
Really I needed this in my life at least 10, if not 20 years ago.
It's never too late, Dee. It's never too late.
It's never too late. But I do really like that simple question. What are your priorities?
Yeah.
Because really that forces you to address, you know, what is the huge thing? Because yes, there's 6 things in your mind and you're going, I'm actually in free fall. There's just too much. Yeah. And really just break it down. If you dealt with that one bloody massive thing that's really bugging you, you'll tick it. You'll go tick, 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 tick.
And differentiating the project from the thing that you can do in a morning.
It's separating the two. Exactly, because there's projects and there's tasks. Some are simple tasks.
I'm going straight out to ask the husband what his priorities are now. Dying to hear the answer. Dying to hear the answer.
I know what he's going to say. You said a yes. The Dear Joe Kane Show.
The Dear Joe Kane Show.
The Dear Joe Kane Show. The Dear Joe
You, Kane darling,
Show.
You're my priority.
I really am his priority at the moment, but not me. The Joe Kane Show. He happens to be producing in my name.
Just so we're clear, everyone. Yes.
Think of the size of you.
Oh man, yeah, it's gas because we don't work together that often, but every couple of years we do a project together and it's intense.
Well, this actually, sorry to interrupt, that this could is quite a nice segue into what I wanted to discuss. Not I'm not to necessarily, we don't have to come off this topic because it's so interesting, but it kind of feeds into it. Is what our partners do. And you work together, you work with SJ, you work with Ellie.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just in home for you guys, it's at work as well. But the things that you have to put up with or live alongside, that's, shall we say, challenging, say the least. It could be as simple as not putting the fucking dirty clothes into the wash basket or something.
That's my son.
Well, that's your son. That's my husband.
I've been trying to train him. He has a laundry basket in his bedroom. But the things go on top of it. Gas on top of the lid.
That's what my husband does. And around it. On top of the lid.
I went out yesterday with Lewis, with Captain Relentless, and we went down to the shop and I had a list of all the storage containers that I wanted to get for the house. And I got the nice laundry basket, the nice big thick one with the quilted lid, and it was good and sturdy. And I brought the rest of this shit home along with the captain. And we got to the house and I put the thing into the bedroom and woke up this morning and all the clothes are on top of
it. On top of it! What the fuck? There's not a combination to get into the wash basket.
You might as well be pissing on the lid of the toilet. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
just lift the fucking thing up.
But here's the thing, I just let go because it's just, I laughed. I actually laughed because it's like, I said to myself, all right, so some of those are clean. I stood there and I just reviewed the situation. I was like, all right, let me see the thought process here. All right, well, those jeans probably aren't dirty. I probably need to get a chair. I'm going to get a chair where he can put his clothes on the chair. That way they're just not on the floor. They're on the chair. And it'll be interesting if we get the chair to see where the clothes end up.
On the chair. But then you're still left with the, I've got
no,
to put
he'll
the
miss
fucking
the
clothes
chair.
Away.
No, he'll miss the chair. They'll be on the floor and the chair and the top of the basket. There'll be three different piles. Good luck to you. Because I have a young fella who's about to be 13. So I think he plays basketball with that laundry basket, throws things at it in the hope that he might get something in. It never does. But the hilarious thing is I've started, and it's way too early for this. I'm going, let me just give you a bit of advice. See if you ever bring a girl back to your room. If there's shit all over the floor and all over the room and it stinks, she'd be gone like a bullet out of here. I said, that's not going to work. And he's looking at me like, I'm 12. What?
Yeah,
this is not appropriate.
This doesn't work. Yeah.
This isn't appropriate. It's not the time. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Why would I be bringing a girl
but
back?
Yeah. And all those memories come flooding back of horrible, stinky places that you might have ended up in once upon a time. You go, jeez.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Maybe it's that. Maybe that's why we're hounding our sons. Get that stuff in the basket. I'm still traumatized from lads with manky rooms.
Manky lads in manky rooms.
What other foibles are there?
And these are cliched ones. So I don't know, the risk of sounding very sexist, are all men doing these things? Because the other one is toilet roll holders. When you finish the toilet roll, why put it in the fucking bin? Put the carton bit in the bin. Don't leave it beside the toilet or on the toilet or on the windowsill. Just put it in the bin. We don't need it now. You're not going to wipe your arse with it. You're not going to make a fucking toy from Blue Peter with it. Put it in the fucking bin. Going a little bit, I have to say, a little bit riled there now.
You know what's really what's gas is that I have found, like, you like to think that you're married, you know, we're fairly sophisticated people, and but if I go away like for a few days and I come back, I look around and I go, oh, student accommodation, we're living in student accommodation now. There's a tin in the fridge, a tin of beans, like a half full tin of beans. What is this? What is
with a spoon still stuck in it?
You're walking around and like that. There's toilet rolls sitting on sinks and empty things gets reduced. There's just, they just don't have that feminine, you know, it's a woman who makes a home, essentially.
Well, you see, but this is where I get confused, because I've mentioned this before. Ross is very in tune and very good at making a place look lovely. Throws, he loves a candle, he loves the aesthetics of a place. He's very aware of you know, sort of.
Yeah, he's just a man. Just
what's pleasing. But when it comes to those things, it's just like, let yourself down there, love. You light a dip tea candle, but you leave a toilet roll holder on the sink. Come on, put your clothes in the wash basket. Like, there's no, he lets himself down.
That's funny.
He has set his own bar and then he lets himself down.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, how I'm complaining about the toilet roll holders. If Ross was sitting in this chair now with these headphones on.
Oh, yeah. What would you say about you?
A rant. You'd have a comeback. Yeah. Lids, that I leave the lids off everything. But I only leave the lids off everything until eating the food. I plan on going into the kitchen afterwards and putting the lids back on and putting everything away. But for that period of time where I'm sat down at a table eating it, he's in the kitchen going, why? Why are the lids not back on the jars? It's like I've got a mouthful of food going, I'm still eating the fucking food.
And you know what's extraordinary about all of this is that we're all meant to still ride each other and love each other.
Who do I have to blow to get shit done? That was this week's episode, and we thank you so much for listening and subscribing and liking and following and giving us all those fabulous reviews and 5-star ratings. And thanks for putting us on your priority list, because you're all definitely on ours, because we simply wouldn't do it without you. So have a great week and we'll be back soon.
This podcast is powered by the Acast Creator Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.